Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management Insurance Services and Ames. Call Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for all your insurance needs. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I've got Brian Myers in studio with me. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well.
Your clones didn't do so well Wednesday.
No, they played just good enough to lose. But I tell you what, they showed good character, you know, playing a tough team on the road, came back, had a chance to win it at the end. I really thought they were going to win it when they went up by a point there with, I don't know how much time was left. It wasn't 12 seconds or something, but anyway, whatever it was a tough loss. But I had a question for you. What on earth was Kirk Ferentz up to the other day with that presser?
I don't know. I thought it was interesting to call a press conference to tell everybody that I'm not changing anything.
I thought that was rather interesting as well.
You know, and obviously that's his prerogative. And I personally, you know, well, on one hand, he said, you know, I've been doing it this way since I've started coaching, but football's changed. Maybe. And Big Ten football definitely seems like it's changing. Maybe it's time to make some tweaks and adjustments. I'm just saying. But then again, I'm not a football coach, so, you know.
I don't think he did himself a lot of favors by having this presser to tell everybody nothing was going to change.
He should have just kept his mouth closed and just did what he was going to do anyway. So, anyway, hey, we have a special guest on the line with us, Congressman Steve King. He's coming on to talk to us about the Iowa Freedom Summit. But I first wanted to ask him a question. Congressman, why didn't you throw your hat in the ring for Speaker of the House?
Well, I went pretty far, you know. I nominated Dan Webster for Speaker of the House.
True,
that's
but
pretty far out there.
But Speaker Steve King.
Pardon me?
Speaker Steve King has a nice ring to it.
There was a little chatter on the internet making that request, but you know, each of us are wired differently, and we have our different roles in whatever arena we happen to be in. And it had emerged for me back when I was in the Iowa Senate, and it remains, I believe, consistent today, that somebody has to be the conscience of the full-spectrum constitutional conservatives. And if you're that's my role. Mm-hmm. And my role is to identify with clarity those principles that have built America and made it great. And if you're the speaker, you have to be looking for consensus to get to 218 votes. And that necessarily requires compromise. It is not always a good thing to compromise, and so I think it's better to be the conscience than the compromiser.
Okay.
I can understand that.
Yeah, definitely. So what's with the Iowa Freedom Summit? What is this?
Well, it is an idea that we put together and began working on 6 months ago. And it is, I would just remind people that 4 years ago, this coming March 26th, so it was March 26, 2011, we did an event in Des Moines that had several presidential candidates, other national opinion leaders, mm-hmm. and we filled the Marriott Hotel up in downtown Des Moines, and we had C-SPAN coverage nonstop from mm-hmm. 9 a.m. till after 5 p.m., and all the other media outlets, too, were there to cover it. That was such a good event.
Including Caffeinated Thoughts.
We decided to do this again. And so we launched this effort 6 months ago and began to put together the speakers that would agree to be there. And as we rolled them out, think of this as the snowball effect. Once you get enough speakers that you've got the critical mass to have a successful event, then the snowball effect comes along and others will come on. And now I think we're up to pretty close to two dozen speakers coming in to the Hoyt Sherman place there in Des Moines, mm-hmm. which seats 1,250 people. And, you know, of those, there are at least 10 potential, and some would say likely, presidential candidates. Most all of them are known with national names and national opinion leaders. And so it's come together really well, and in spite of the lofty aspirations we had, as good as we had planned it, it's gotten actually better than we thought it might be.
Yeah, I'm, you know, just a few people, some folks may know. Yeah. Here, like Sarah Palin and Rick Santorum. And,
it's an impressive list of folks.
Rick Perry and Scott Walker. And, of course, the Governor Branstad's going to be there, as well as Kim Reynolds and just, you know, a bunch of other people. So it looks like a great lineup, and I'm looking forward to being there. You know, one thing I remember vividly about the 2011 event was the banquet and as the food, Congressman King. I hate to admit it, but you had some fabulous steak there. That was the best banquet food I think I've ever had.
All the things we could talk about. And you
no doubt. Maybe that's because I'm hungry. Yeah, I'm jazzed about the food.
No, you guys, there wasn't a Friday during Lent, was it, that you're talking about?
I don't. Yeah, I guess I didn't quite. It was good red meat. That's
Well, you know, food is one of the joys of life, and I'm not going to promise that excellent of cuisine this time, but I will say that of those who have tickets, and the food is free. And so is the admission, and the sign-ups began several months ago. We have been, we've been sold out for some time, and there's quite a waiting list, but there's still occasionally somebody will drop off, and somebody on the waiting list gets a ticket. And so we've been really, really fortunate to have this kind of response. I think it's likely going to turn out to be the best list of national speakers as a launch off or as a prelude to a presidential nomination process that's been put together anywhere, anytime. And I don't know that. I just sense that's the case because I've been to a good number of them and set up a few. But I'm very, very pleased with all the effort that's there. We have volunteers, many volunteers that have come in to work today. The press response has been great. The speaker's response, too. And so I'm looking forward to it. It'll be probably the most intense day of my life, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good. The most intense. I'm sure you're probably used to pressure, though, so you can handle this just fine.
It's hard for me to imagine that this is going to be his most intense day.
Well, hey. I have introductions about every other speaker along the way, so I have to be prepared for that. It doesn't let me just walk in there and give a speech and then sit back and relax and enjoy the show. I have to, I have to be part of it intermittently, so that means I have to pay attention the whole time. To the rhythm of the show, and to keep it on track and on time is going to take some doing. There's some people there that have a tendency to have a little more to say than maybe you plan for them to say, and I could even be one of those.
No.
Is that one of those deals where everybody puts in their 2 cents, but there's somebody out there that's going to throw in a nickel or a quarter?
Yeah.
That's it. And, we're not going to be as hardcore as I remember a straw poll event when they just cut the mics if you ran over.
I like that. I think you should.
Could be worse. It could be getting the hook out.
Yeah, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have Congressman Steve King on the line with us. And Congressman, so we're starting. You're into a new Congress. What are some things you're seeing happening in Washington D.C.?
Well, the first thing that is of large significance that we did was we passed the appropriations bill for the Department of Homeland Security. That was the section of the appropriations that we pulled out of the omnibus spending bill last December. And it funds the necessary functions of government in a way that's, I think, relatively prudent. But also, it cuts off all funding that would be used for the president to carry out his unconstitutional, lawless executive amnesty in all of its forms, going back to the board memos, DACA, and the November 20th and 21st edicts that came out that added another 5 million people to his list of people that he says are now at least temporarily lawfully president of America. And so that was a good stand for us to take. It was pretty well hard fought among Republicans. There were a couple of dozen Republicans that broke with this, and I cannot track their rationale. When the president violates the Constitution and you take an oath to uphold that Constitution, how do you then vote to fund the president's lawlessness? Right. And that would, but we've now have put that marker down, sent that bill over to the Senate, and I just came back from a conference with the Senate, and we're having those conversations about how they put together the votes necessary to protect the Constitution and the Congress. And if they send that bill to the president's desk and he vetoes the appropriations bill that funds Border Patrol, Customs Border Protection, ICE, the functions of our national security that are part of DHS. If he vetoes that bill because he insists that he have the money to continue to violate the Constitution, we are in a constitutional crisis now, but there needs to be a great big fight in America if the president is going to throw that kind of a tantrum that he would put our national security at risk ahead of his desire to violate the Constitution and violate his oath of office.
Right. So I bet those the conference committees are going to be certainly a lot different with the Senate now, don't you think?
Oh, it would be a lot different. That would be a lot more fun. I remember looking across the conference table on the, as a member of the conference committee on the farm bill that we did, and there were certain items that we could not even discuss. The rules that the staff had from the Debbie Stabenow on the Senate side, if anybody brings up this topic, you don't answer. You don't even get to say we don't discuss it. You just don't answer. That I've never run into that before. That'll change. Wow. We'll have open dialogue. Maybe we can actually move things then towards the right, which has been my job for a long time.
Congressman King, we spoke earlier about the election, the recent election of Speaker Boehner again to Speaker of the House. There was obviously a challenge there, and there was much made of the fact that the Speaker, you know, was not very happy about the challenge, understandably. Tell me how this works now going forward, having had that challenge. How do you view your relationship with the Speaker or the relationship that the Speaker has with some of the more conservative folks in his party?
Well, I would just say candidly that my relationship with the Speaker today, as opposed to the day before I rose and nominated Daniel Webster for his job, seems to be exactly the same. You know, you can read into that a lot of things, and whatever is going into anybody's pessimistic mind is probably fairly accurate. But we haven't had the greatest relationship along the way for a long, long time. I don't think it had much room to deteriorate, and it doesn't appear to have. But that's maybe of secondary importance at this point. But what is my relationship with the majority leader and the majority whip and the deputy whip and the people on the leadership team? There are probably a couple of people in the leadership team that are a little resentful because, in a way, it threatens their job, their title, not necessarily their job. But for the most part, I've had one conversation with a member of the Republican Conference that there was any expression of being critical of the moves that I made and the vote that I put up. But aside from that, maybe a couple of people that give the cold shoulder, you can't always tell. There's a little of that going on all the time. But I think it's more positive in our conference. More people come up and talk. More people come up and whisper into my ear, I'm glad you did what you did. Took courage to do it. Those kind of comments. And I've noticed that I find myself at the leadership table more rather than less negotiating legislation. So there's that little thing about it's better to be feared than loved.
Yeah.
But that was Machiavelli, and you know, in my case, if you're completely unlovable, then I guess you have to be feared.
Yeah, that's true. There's been a lot of talk in at least in education circles about the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, or No Child Left Behind, as some people put it. What have you heard about what's going on the House version with that? I know you're not on the Education Committee, but I figure if you've heard any scuttlebutt anyway about it.
Well, when you ask me that, I'm just thinking that I missed an opportunity to have that conversation with Congress, with the chairman of the Ed Workforce Committee, John Klein of Minnesota. Hmm. I need to do that. I don't have a fresh report that I can tell you. It's just that it seems to me that it's going to be difficult to reauthorize No Child Left Behind. Some Democrats have moved away from it. Teddy Kennedy's not there to beat that drum. And we have a president who has essentially usurped it for other purposes. So the form that it takes, I don't know. But, maybe throughout all of that, we can address Common Core in a way that puts the control of the education back in the hands of the parents. Mm-hmm. And then secondarily, the local school districts. And then at the third level, the state level, the federal government should not be setting curriculum for the nation at the K through 12 level.
Right.
And that's the result of the path we've been going down.
It sounds like Senator Alexander is discussing possibly removing the annual testing requirement for the states, which would be phenomenal if that actually was approved. I'm not going to hold my breath. But that would be definitely a great development, and I think would go a long way into removing some of the teeth behind Common Core anyway.
Well, that would be good to see that happen. You know, each time that that you see the government migrate towards Washington instead of away from Washington, it takes away some of our freedom, and it puts it more and more into a one-size-fits-all mold. And when you take away freedom, you take away creativity and innovativeness. You sap the vigor of the most vigorous culture and society the world has ever seen. And so I think it's a mistake for power to migrate to Washington. I think it's the right thing to do to push it back out as locally as possible as it can. And that's what I've been working for. So the merits that are there within the Department of Education do exist. And yet, the demerits seem to be outweighing the merits at this point.
Great. Well, just to recap, as far as Iowa Freedom Summit, you can go to iafreedomsummit.com to learn a little bit more, even though it is sold out. You could, I guess, try to get on the waiting list, but that's next Saturday, January 24th. Make sure I got that right. Yes, January 24th. And what time does that start, Congressman King?
It starts at 9 a.m., and we will run straight through speaker after speaker until 5:34 p.m.
Great.
We're trying our best to get people out the door while there's still a little light left.
Shane and I will see you there, Congressman.
Well, I sure appreciate it. Good to talk to Caffeinated Thoughts this morning. We'll look forward to the day on Saturday, the 24th of January.
All right. Thanks.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a 3-week stretch where he saved 3 different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I don't have time for their drama. Have you ever said that? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, and it's time to pause for peace. All too often, it is our busy lives that set us up for conflict. So when such obstructions hit, we have little time to do anything but react. Sadly, such reactions tend to complicate rather than correct the problem. This is why we encourage people to pause. PAUSE is a helpful acronym developed by Peacemaker Ministries designed to equip people to constructively pursue peace. The P stands for prepare. Self-defense training conditions the student to develop an action to counteract an attack. Such preparedness protects the would-be victim from contributing to a vulnerable situation. In like fashion, times of conflict can be de-escalated by taking time to think before speaking. To read more about how you can be prepared for conflict, check out our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And we are going to do an extended news that hopefully you can use, because I was lame and I didn't line up an interview for the second segment. So, anyway.
You can't take the full blame for that.
Oh, well.
I was trying to make something happen and it didn't happen either, so here we are.
Anyways, you wanted to listen to us talk more. I know you did, because that's the best part of the show. Okay.
Right.
Right. So, there was a, I have to admit, I am...
just this past couple weeks have been just absolutely slammed, and I've been tracking a little bit with the new legislative session. I can't help but not do that because I've got two of the ladies in my house work in the Iowa legislature as clerks, so I get to hear a little bit about what's going on.
You get in all the scuttlebutt.
I have not until recent, just like now. My very first bill I actually read was one filed by State Senator Matt McCoy. And if you're not aware of who Matt McCoy is, he is Iowa's only openly gay, at least that I'm aware of. I don't think there's anybody else. He's the only openly gay state legislator. And he introduced Senate File 31. And I'll just read verbatim the explanation at the bottom of the bill. If you were to, you go to caffeinatethoughts.com and you can read. It's called, I wrote a story called McCoy Files Bill Targeting Sexual Orientation Therapy for Minors. And here's the explanation of the bill. The bill prohibits a mental health provider from engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with a patient under 18 years of age. The bill provides that a mental health provider who engages in sexual orientation change efforts with a patient under 18 years of age is subject to disciplinary action by the entity or disciplinary authority with professional jurisdiction over the mental health provider. Think about that for a second. You know, first of all, I think this bill is intentionally vague, because this could even be like you can't even pray with the client that God would take away, you know, desire to engage in homosexual behavior, because you know that's just totally wrong that you pray with somebody that they would actually lose temptation to sin. Think about that. I mean, you know, there's obviously some coercive types of therapies out there in the past, and I know there's been some things done in the name of this of sexual orientation change therapy that have been wrong. There's probably been some abuse in the past as well, but you know what? There are laws that cover that already. But this is chilling, and this is really an attack on parents, because it's saying parents, you cannot take your. If this were to pass, if you had a child who said, hey, "Mom, Dad, I'm struggling with, you know, I think I might be gay," that's saying you can't take them to a licensed psychologist or mental health counselor or social worker or whoever has a license with the state of Iowa to seek help. And
all right, let me ask you straight out of the gate here: does this have any support anywhere?
Yeah, well, Iowa Medical Society, their lobbyists registered in favor of it, which is that's pretty chilling too. I'm appalled. My jaw dropped when I saw that. Now, if he laid out some specific coercive techniques, I can maybe see it, but he didn't. It was vague.
It's pretty sweeping.
Broad. But here's what it doesn't include. Okay, this does not fall under the sexual orientation change efforts, according to Mr. McCoy. Counseling or therapy that provides acceptance, support, and understanding of the individual, or the facilitation of an individual's coping, social support, and identity exploration and development, including sexual orientation neutral interventions to prevent or address unlawful conduct or unsafe sexual practices. So basically, unless you are saying, you know what? We just affirm you, and we're just going to support you whatever you decide. That's great. As far as I don't know what Matt McCoy would consider unsafe sexual practices. I would say the whole of homosexuality is an unsafe sexual practice. Just saying. I don't want to get too descriptive here on the radio, but hey.
I'm glad you stopped.
Yes. There's just some things God never intended. So we'll just stop there.
But back to my question, what kind of support does this have in the legislature?
Well, hopefully none. I'm hoping this doesn't see the light of day out of a subcommittee, and I hope this is just something we see, we roll our eyes at, and it doesn't go anywhere. But here's the thing, and this is what I've seen. This is what we've seen in California, and this is what we're seeing with culture. I don't think he I think he knows this won't go anywhere, but he's just going to keep going at it, keep going at it till we
keep chipping away.
Keep chipping away until we lose our sensitivity and finally it passes. And then what's next? Okay? You go after the licensed counselors. Now suddenly you're going to go after the pastors and youth pastors who are working with kids. Then eventually you're going to go with counselors who work with adults who are voluntarily going to seek help for this. And it's like, no, no, unless you're encouraging it, you can't say, no, you can't say that.
And at the end of that line is mom and dad.
Yeah. And mom and dad,
down this path,
you can't tell your child that being homosexual is wrong.
This is really frustrating because this perversion is promoted in education. It's promoted in the media. It's promoted in law. And apparently that's all okay. But, you know, if mom and dad want to take some steps to try to curtail that in their particular instance, this kind of legislation says not so fast.
Right.
Very, very frustrating.
Right, right. So, you know, I would just like, as I wrote in the article, I would like, he represents Iowa Senate District 21, and I think we could just drop the pretense that he's actually representing Iowa Senate District 21. I think he sees himself as the state senator for homosexuals in the state of Iowa.
Yeah, he seems to be representing the Castro District in San Francisco is
right.
What he seems to be representing.
He is a LGBT activist masquerading as a state senator. Period.
Boom.
Moving on.
Yes.
No good segue after this, so moving on.
Yeah, but we do get to talk about one of our favorite candidates.
Oh, yes.
And who would that be?
Romney! He sucks! Hey!
Romney, the definition of insanity, 2016. Is there nothing this man won't flip-flop on? Wasn't it just a little while ago he was saying, I'm not going to run, and you know, my wife Ann said she doesn't want me to run.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall watching his wife at home in the kitchen when they're having coffee, you know?
I mean, maybe...
I think Mrs. Romney's probably pulling her hair out.
It's like, honey, I'd like to run. No. 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 Honey, shut up! Fine! So... Oh, man.
This is beautiful, though. The Wall Street Journal on Wednesday, they had an editorial page piece on this. And it says, if Mitt Romney is the answer, what is the question?
Anyway, Mitt Romney is going against the tried and true tradition of the GOP, and that was to pick the nominee who's next in line. Which I think is a dumb tradition anyway, but that's just how it's typically gone. So
yeah, that's how we got Bob Dole.
You had your chance, buddy. You had your chance. Move on. Move on. Fade away into obscurity. You know.
Yeah, but don't do it yet because we want to continue to have fun with him on the radio.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And divide up the establishment vote. But I just read an article in Politico yesterday. Mitt Romney backlash intensifies. Conservatives argue he has too much baggage and the GOP needs a fresh face. Recycled, not the new blood of the GOP needs, a man who had shot a terrible candidate. And he was an awful candidate, folks. Have we forgotten this? Mr. Etch-a-Sketch Romney. A Republican backlash against Mitt Romney.
And that
was from his own press guy who came up with that term. That was just a gift for me. I love that. Anyway, it says a Republican backlash against Mitt Romney has been simmering for days, boiled over Wednesday, as conservatives across the GOP spectrum, not just conservatives, but some establishment folks too, pan the prospect of another presidential bid by former Massachusetts governor and two-time loser on the national stage.
Two-time loser with an
Etch-a-Sketch. Two-time loser.
Two-time loser with an Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's Scott Walker had a great line, and he's going to be in Iowa next weekend. He said, I think the best way to counter something from the past is with something new. Nice. This is just like, move along. Move along, Mitt.
I think Mitt's wife is probably saying the same thing.
Right. I think Mitt is talking himself into running, and some of his staff would like to get paid. Because right. I don't see anybody else with the right mind actually hiring them. But anyway.
All right. We've got another delightful news piece here. We have a climate change pope, apparently. Pope Francis said he's convinced that global warming is mostly man-made.
Okay.
And he's going to Paris, and he's going to encourage the negotiators there to make courageous decisions to protect God's creation. Listen to this. He's apparently identified the 2013 typhoon in the Philippines as an example of extreme weather conditions that global warming has brought about. This is the Pope that is a climate scientist, apparently.
But you know, liberals will say climate science. You know, we can't necessarily use that against us because they'll say the same thing about us.
Well, whatever.
When we bloviate about it.
Anyway, he says, quote, "I don't know if it," referring to human activity, "is the only cause, but mostly, in great part, it is man who has slapped nature in the face." And then he goes on to say, "We have, in a sense, taken over nature."
Well, yes.
So this is the vicar of Christ saying we've slapped not God in the face, nature in the face, and apparently he can't do anything about it.
Well, here's a interesting. I seem to remember in Genesis 1 or 2, I think it's 1. Where God says we're to hold dominion over the earth. We're to be stewards. We are, yeah, yeah. I think we're kind of, not necessarily destroyed, obviously, and I'm all for stewardship, but this climate change stuff is out of control, and it's not just the Pope, but also we have liberal evangelicals like Sojourners that are, you know, beating that drum too, and other groups as well.
Well, right, but what we have here is we have a pope that has really sold himself out, it looks like to me, to left-wing politics.
It seems to be that way.
And if you see this pope with some socialistic inclinations,
mm-hmm,
and comes out and on the side of climate change in this particular instance, this ought not surprise us at all.
No.
Anyway,
yeah, I was an evangelical looking at the Catholic Church. I would hope the next pope chosen would be someone out of the third world who tends to be a little more conservative. But just saying.
All right, we have a Gallup poll and a Reuters poll that are miles apart with regard to Obama's approval rating, and this really is interesting. We've got 37% approval rating and 55% disapproval rating, according to Reuters, and this is their first poll of the year. At the same time, Gallup last had President Obama at a 46% approval rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, the president's been taking a hit because he didn't send, somebody over to the... to Paris for that
we'll pick that back up in the next segment. We'll continue on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029.
Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, which is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Call 515-292-7140 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And back to the story we kind of left our last segment off is we have a disparity in polls.
Big one.
And you have the Reuters poll that says 37% approval rate.
Yeah, with a full 55% disapproval.
Yeah. And then Gallup, which is a little, which had Obama at 46% approval. I think they pull this way too much. This daily presidential approval tracking. I mean, does really people change their mind that much? Oh, today I like him. Today, tomorrow, no, I hate him.
Well, I think I started to say this in the last segment. I think really what we've got, at least in part, is the president taking a big hit for not sending an important member.
Yeah.
Of his team. Somebody you know from the United States delegation.
The U.S. ambassador to France is not an important person. He doesn't have anything to say. He's just like looking at me. You're an idiot. Shut up.
Well, I mean, when you look at the picture of all of the leaders of Europe,
yeah,
you know, they locking, you know, arms,
and then as well as Benjamin Netanyahu,
he was there as well, right, yeah. Right. So I think the president really did take a hit, you know, for not sending some, you know, higher level mm-hmm. member of his team, somebody.
And I thought he loved Europe too and France. I mean, really. So I'm surprised. It was something about terrorism and Islam. Can't weigh in on that.
That really does seem to be the bottom line. And I think he's taking a hit on that point. Yeah. That's really the problem, is people are saying, what is wrong with this administration that they won't get a clue about Islam and terrorism?
And he's an Islam apologist in chief.
Anyway. I know we can get out our tinfoil hats and do some speculation there, but
I'm not saying he's a Muslim or anything like that.
No, but there's guys out there that do.
Yeah,
that.
Right, right.
My point simply is, look, you are adding a lot of fuel to that fire.
Right, and a good segue would be, and more from the religion of peace, we have this, Brian goes to this website called Bare Naked Islam.
Stop.
I'll let you come up with your own conclusions with that.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
I'll get you for that, Vanderhart.
Yeah. The story is not actually laughable. It's in Nigeria, deadliest massacre ever by Islamic group Boko Haram kills at least 2,000. They're quoting a CNN story. It says Boko Haram has terrorized northern Nigeria regularly since 2009, attacking police, schools, churches, and civilians and bombing government buildings. The Islamist group has said its aim is to impose a stricter form of Sharia law across Nigeria, which is split between a majority Muslim north and a mostly Christian south. Each new crime committed by Boko Haram exceeds the last in brutality. This is a direct consequence of the environment of total impunity which Boko Haram operates. Every time they get away with mass murder, rape, and enslavement of women and children, they're emboldened.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
And I'd seen some conflicting reports originally I'd seen some discussion out there that a majority of these folks that were massacred were Christians. Now, since then, I have not seen more discussion of that, on the face of it, I'm not convinced of it, given the fact that these two villages are supposed to be in northeast Nigeria. So at least geographically speaking, there should have been a majority Muslim population up there. But right. Regardless, I mean, this is absolutely incredible. They're talking about 3,700 homes and other structures that were demolished by these Islamic militants over the course of this attack. Residents have not been able to return to bury the dead, let alone count their numbers. So we can't really say for sure how many people are actually dead.
Right.
They're getting their information through satellite images and also graphic testimonies from survivors. But what's coming through is likely going to be Boko Haram's deadliest attack ever. And it's just I don't know what we as a world are going to do about these people. They're kidnapping people. They're executing people. They're slaughtering people. We've got these guys. We've got ISIS over in Syria and Iraq. I don't know what we are prepared to do, but this is unspeakable.
Man. Yeah, it is. Amnesty International, looking at Fox News reports, said has released satellite images that shows widespread destruction in two Nigerian towns attacked by Boko Haram last weekend. There needs to be a strong statement from this administration against brutality like this. I'm not saying send troops over there. I think maybe find a way to provide support for the African Union who can put boots on the ground there fairly quickly. But we're
not going to do that when we can't even bring ourselves to send Uncle Joe Biden over for this protest in Paris.
Right.
If we can't do that, what makes us think we're going to do anything?
Very true.
For these poor people in Nigeria.
Yeah, it's very true.
Anyway.
Moving on. Duke backs down. Speaking of another Islam story, backs down, cancels Muslim call to prayer from Chapel Tower. Duke, okay. United Methodist College, at least it used to be. I would question their roots now. I mean,
oh man! What an incredibly stupid idea that the first Adhan, which is what they call a call to prayer, had been scheduled to be broadcast on January 16th. The Islamic chant, which includes the words "Allahu Akbar," and they would have been "quote unquote" moderately amplified in both English and Arabic. What are these people thinking? I mean, has multiculturalism gotten to the point now where we'll do anything?
Yeah. I
mean, what an incredibly stupid idea! It brought about a firestorm of national criticism. Praise the Lord for that.
Right.
It included a number of high profile leaders, including Franklin Graham. But so they ended up backing down. But again, the mere fact that they would think of doing such a stupid thing. Can you imagine? This is the thing that blows my mind. They're going to do this. They were prepared to do this. And can you imagine if an evangelical group wanted, I don't know what they would let them do at all on campus.
Right.
Let alone broadcast this over a PA system.
Well, I could definitely tell you what they wouldn't allow.
Are you serious?
They would not allow them to probably read Romans 1, using a megaphone. Matter of fact, they probably say, no, your free speech zone is like over there, off campus. So.
On better news.
Congratulations to Senator Joni Ernst, who's slated to give the Republican response to the State of the Union. That is huge.
Now we have to ask,
are you going to run for president? No, I don't think so. But she said her response, and with the brief time we got, I'm truly honored to deliver the Republican address. It's a long way from Red Oak, Iowa to Washington, D.C. But now that I'm here, I'm excited. I get to work in order to craft and implement real solutions as we chart a new path forward
to our great nation. I had a chance to jump onto a press call of hers this week, and she sounds like she's having the time of her life. Got to preside over the U.S. Senate for a couple hours, which I'm sure was pretty surreal. I didn't watch C-SPAN coverage. It sounded like she had kind of a giddy look on her face.
Hey,
I don't blame her.
She is a bona fide rock star.
Joni, congratulations, and we'll look forward to what you have to say.
I'll get this, though, buddy. The Iowa Democratic Party on Thursday called Ernst plan speaking gig a disappointment.
I'm sure it is. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio to them. We'll be back.
I don't have time for their drama. You ever said that? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, and it's time to pause for peace. All too often, it is our busy lives that set us up for conflict. So when such obstructions hit, we have little time to do anything but react. Sadly, such reactions tend to complicate rather than correct the problem. This is why we encourage people to pause. PAUSE is a helpful acronym developed by Peacemaker Ministries designed to equip people to constructively pursue peace. The P stands for prepare. Self-defense training conditions the student to develop an action to counteract an attack. Such preparedness protects the would-be victim from contributing to a vulnerable situation. In like fashion, times of conflict can be de-escalated by taking time to think before speaking. To read more about how you can be prepared for conflict, check out our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodwind of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance that you need.
And now we've come to my very favorite part of the show. And you know this story must be true, because
you can't make this stuff up. All right. Oh, I like this part,
too. All right, here we go. Too. People's love for their pets. Okay, this... People's love for their pets reached a new high in December when a British man paid a veterinarian the equivalent of $500 to perform delicate surgery on a sick office goldfish. Veterinarian Faye Bethel of North Walsham, England, told the Eastern Daily Press in December that there was nothing special about the fish, but that the customer just liked it a lot. In fact, the goldfish likely did not even have a pet name. Okay. Bethel's procedure...
I don't even know what to say.
Bethel's procedure involved removing the patient from the bowl, flooding its gills with anesthetic added water, and using a tiny scalpel to remove lumps that were causing its constipation. With the surgery guided by a miniature heart rate monitor.
Brian, you need to be more empathetic. I mean, I'm sure it was a beautiful goldfish.
The fish was constipated. I took him to the vet for surgery. It took a $5 goldfish, spent $500 on it for surgery for constipation.
Wow. I've not heard him crack up like this in quite a while. Oh man. Oh. But that is incredible. How do you get a scalpel that small? She had to be using some sort of a magnifying glass so she could see what she's doing. But the tiny heart rate monitor.
Oh,
it's like he's crashing. He's crashing.
Clear, cold blue,
or cold gold.
I'm gonna give him CPR. Was the surgery successful?
Well, apparently.
It was certainly expensive.
Dude, I don't know if we care at this point.
And what did it probably take her? Like, I don't know, 2 minutes to do? I mean, my goodness.
Maybe this was a bigger goldfish. You know, you've seen those really large ones.
A koi?
That'll grow in a
those
outdoor pool
those
or whatever.
Those cost more than $1 to $5, though.
You're right. You're right.
This is like, good point. This is like, you know, other fish food, basically.
You know, the guy should have done is she brings in the goldfish. He looks at it, goes to the store, buys one that's approximately the same size and appearance, gives it back to her and says the surgery was a success. Just saved a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. If you want to know where to find that, it's the Eastern Daily Press. Okay. This came out January 1st of this year. Norwich, England.
Man, where did you... I mean, how'd you run across it?
I don't know. I go to these places that, you know, News of the Weird or, you know, Funny News and stuff like that. And, you know, and
okay.
Some of this stuff
news
is just...
News of the Weird, Bare Naked Islam.
All right. That's it. You're done, buddy. You're toast.
Oh.
You are toast, man.
We have any time left?
Just, you got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
We got to burn 30 seconds.
What are we
going to
say? I don't know if there's anything I could say that would top this story.
I still, hats off to this guy to come up with a scalpel that would work. All right. Our quote of the day is from Brother Andrew. Don't curse the darkness, but light a candle.
Amen. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.